So we're here because we know that this country is still facing innumerable crises. We know that the inequity, institutionalized racism, violence, poverty, problems from A to Z are still facing us. We also have experience with the hopes and dreams of people every time we change president, and especially in this election, because God knows we are all tired, worn out by Trump, and we all want to have hope. But we know that you can't just have hope, you have to fight for what you need. And so we're here to give notice that people in the United States, all of the communities, working people, poor people, everyone is going to stand up and we're going to fight for our needs. I've spent a lot of time in Latin America in the streets with the people, and there's a slogan they're saying there now that I think applies. In English, the slogan is, only the people can save the people. Solo el pueblo salva al pueblo. So what does that mean? That means that we have to save ourselves by organizing and by fighting for what we need and by telling President Biden that we will not go back to the status quo. We want a new country. So we're going to start off today. You'll see our signs. There's a number of issues that the coalition that first started talking about doing this protest came to a lot of discussion about what do we want? What are we going to do? What's our program? So we came up with a lot of different things. You'll see the signs here. And so today we have speakers from the movements, speakers who have a history of fighting for what needs to be done, who are going to join us and talk a little bit about what they see. Our first speaker is we're talking about stopping state violence, stopping the repression by the police, stopping the attacks on our communities. Dig out, root out the institutionalized racism. So our first speaker is going to be Kobe Guillory from the Chicago Alliance Against Racist and Political Repression. Thank you, Kobe.
Hello. Thank you, everyone, for being here on this cold-ass day. My name is Kobe Guillory. That's first name K-O-B-I, last name G-U-I-L-L-O-R-Y for the news people. And, you know, the reason I'm out here the same as the reason everyone else is out here is because we understand that white supremacy did not start with the election of Donald Trump. As much as we're going to celebrate Donald Trump being gone, I hate that motherfucker. But white supremacy has been around for 400 years, and white supremacy will not disappear tomorrow. White supremacy started with the theft of this land, the theft of land all around the world, the subjugation, the enslavement, the genocide of people all over the world. And that legacy is still with us today. The violence of white supremacy is still with us today, and it was still carried on by the Obama administration. We understand that it's still going to be carried on by the Biden administration unless we stop it. We understand that the police are the cutting edge of mass incarceration, which is itself an offshoot of white supremacy. The people who patrol our neighborhoods in those blue uniforms with guns and badges, 200 years ago, they would have been patrolling looking for runaway slaves. 100 years ago, they would have been patrolling the streets wearing white hoods in the KKK. So we understand that this is a fight that has to continue. And we're not going to leave it up to any president, any mayor. No administration is going to take up this fight for us. This is a fight that the people have to be involved in. This is a fight that you have to bring your family into, you have to bring your neighbors, you have to bring your friends, and you have to get organized, because we have to take up this fight for ourselves. And we saw last year an explosion in the movement to defund the police, to get community control of the police so that we can hold these pigs accountable for all the terrorization that they've done in our communities, for decades, for centuries, and we need to end it right now. That's why the Chicago Alliance Against Racism and Political Repression is pushing for community control of the police. The CPAC legislation will empower communities to control the police budget, to control police policy, and to hold police accountable. So I'm going to end with a chant. When I say CPAC, I want y'all to say fight back. CPAC!
Fight back!
CPAC!
Fight back!
CPAC!
Fight back!
When I say fight back, you say CPAC! Fight back!
CPAC!
Fight back!
CPAC!
Fight back!
CPAC!
Fight back!
CPAC!
Thank you.
When our communities are under attack, what do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
What do we do?
Stand up, fight back.
Working people in this country have been facing a situation of lost income, lost housing, lost jobs, deunionization, attacks on the unions that exist. Here in Chicago, we have a lot of experience fighting Democratic Party mayors over attacks on our school systems and our communities and our peoples. Our next speaker is going to talk about the working class and the power of the people who work. I want to invite up here Dennis Kosuth, who is a nurse for over 13 years and a member of the CTU, Chicago Teachers Union, also the National Nurses Union and Democratic Socialists of America.
Hey.
Union and proud! Union and proud!
Good afternoon. Like I said, I've been a nurse for over 13 years, and I knew that our healthcare system was messed up before I set foot in nursing school, but nothing prepared me for when I stepped foot inside of the safety net hospitals I've worked in over the years, of the horrible racist healthcare disparities that have existed in this country for decades. Chicago is home to one of the worst gaps in life expectancy in the entire country. This is the richest country in the world, the third largest city. Up in Streeterville, people on average, just north of the river here, people on average look to be 90 years old. Just 8 miles south, down in Englewood, the average life expectancy is only 60. How is it that you can have a 30-year life gap in people's lives just depending on where you were born and where you live? It's not right and it's not fair. Despite this, decision makers are still making cuts to healthcare. Mercy Hospital, the oldest hospital in Chicago, is slated to be shut down in Bronzeville. 50,000 visits to that ER every year. Thousands of babies born in that hospital every year. How is it they can cut healthcare down there? Same thing down in Cook County, in Provident, where I used to work as a part-time nurse. They're closing two clinics. They've reduced the number of beds, and they've cut the staff in the ER. In a pandemic that's killing black people. How does that make any sense to cut healthcare on the South Side during a pandemic? It's not right. But we're not standing, we're fighting back. The Healthcare Equity Coalition is organizing and fighting to protest these cuts in healthcare. I started working in schools about 4 years ago, naively thinking that maybe in schools it'd be less stressed than working the ER at county. I was naive in that because it's the same tragedies happening to people, just that they're children. And that's why it's an outrage that this city is trying to push kids back into schools during a pandemic. It doesn't make any sense. And that's why only a third of African-American and Latina parents are sending their kids back. They work in essential services. They work in hospitals, nursing homes, warehouses, and they've seen the effects of this virus on their family members who've passed away, who've gotten sick. So they know that schools are unsafe, and that's why they're keeping their kids home. And the Chicago Teachers Union has been organizing and fighting to keep remote learning because we know that it's not ideal, but it's what's safe. It's not worth one person's life to push people back in an unsafe situation. And the CTU has a strong record in fighting for healthcare because they went on strike for 11 days to put a nurse in every school, every day.
That's right.
We take this fight seriously. It didn't have to be the way that it is right now. In Taiwan, a country of 23 million people, only 43 people have died from coronavirus.
Wow.
Taiwan is not some country where they have gold falling from the sky. It's just like this country, actually less wealthy. The equivalent deaths would be 600 deaths. So it's not impossible to have a better kind of system to keep people safe. Nurses are often held up as heroes, as the ones who can fight And when they talk about fighting coronavirus, a lot of microphones come in front of them. When they talk about a system which is killing people, there are less microphones, unfortunately. But the point is that you don't have to be a nurse to fight for a better society. Every one of us can play a role in fighting for justice, for health care, and fighting for the kind of world that we all deserve to live in. Thank you.
Thank you. Continuing, so we Dennis talked a little bit about some of the things that people are facing in this country. Health care, education, housing. Our next speaker is going to talk to us about healthcare some more, and this will be Catherine Kent from the Illinois Single Payer Coalition. She's also a nurse, another one of our defenders of health.
Hello, thank you everybody for being here today and for the organizations and organizers who I know worked extremely hard to put all of this together. My name is Catherine, I'm a public health nurse, representative of the Illinois Single Payer Coalition, and a single payer advocate. My message today will be short and sweet. I know that tomorrow we will all have a collective sigh of relief that Donald Trump will finally be leaving office. But this is not why we're standing here in the cold and the snow, because we know, as others have already said, that is not enough. We cannot let Biden and the establishment Democrats ignore the healthcare crisis that our country is enduring. This crisis was evident pre-Trump and is now glaringly obvious 10 months into a pandemic. We cannot accept the extremely low standard that just not being Donald Trump is enough. We will not accept that. We must fight for a single-payer healthcare system that it is for everyone. We must fight for a single-payer healthcare system for everyone so that the next time we have a disaster response, it will be efficient and equitable. Our system and ethical for all the country. We need healthcare for all. The country wants healthcare for all, and we need it right now. Right now. So if you agree, please chat with me. When I say, what do we want? You say healthcare. When I say, when do we want it? You say no. What do we want?
Healthcare.
When do we want it?
Now.
What do we want?
Healthcare.
When do we want it?
Now.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Another front where people have been struggling for years is control over our own bodies. Women's reproductive rights, women's control of their own bodies, LGBT rights to defend their bodies and to define their bodies. This has been a contentious issue. And there's violence and lack of law, legal protections, and we are not able to wait and just stand by and hope that President-elect Biden is going to do something about this. He's made promises, but the only thing that will hold his feet to the fire is us organizing and defending ourselves. Our next speaker is Benito Ulisano, from the Clinic Vest Project, the Illinois Choice Action Team in Chicago for Abortion Rights.
Yeah. 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 Right. Thank you so much. I'm honored to be here representing all three organizations. To what everyone else has been saying, I'm really excited that Donald Trump is less than 24 hours before he gets kicked out of the White House, and I hope they throw all of his shit on the front lawn and change the locks. Biden and Harris made our issue a focal point in their debates and said, we are going to protect people's right to choose. Well, now that they've talked the talk, we're going to demand that they walk the walk. Because many times we get caught up by centrist Democrats who do not have our best interests at heart. We want to demand that abortion is free for those that need it and for those that want it. We demand that they do a national mandate to get rid of all waiting periods so that somebody doesn't have to travel, wait 2 days, go to counseling, and have a 96 period before they get the care they need, only to be told that they might not be able to have one. We have to get rid of legislation that gets rid of being able to get the abortion pill. I'm really disheartened by the latest Supreme Court decision that it has to be in person. That has to be changed. Mail order pill is the way to go, especially during a pandemic. Making people show up for an abortion pill is just not right during this time. So anyway, we must take to the streets. If anybody doubts that, just think about Georgia and the amazing thing that they did. Thank you for being here. I'm glad I'm here.
Our bodies, our lives, our right to decide. Our bodies, our lives, our right to decide. Racist, sexist, anti-gay, get the hell out of the way. A lot of people around the world have a lot of experience with governments of the United States, Democrats and Republicans, interfering in their elections, overthrowing their governments, destroying their countries, endless wars, coup d'etats, violence, and militarization. This is a legacy of the U.S. around the world, and this is a legacy that we have to continue to fight to change. Right now, just to notice, we've got 10,000, maybe 8,000 to 10,000 migrants from Central America desperately fleeing their country, being beat up as they walk. And why? Because the U.S. has destroyed their countries in Central America. That's just one immediate example. The U.S. doesn't even sign on to the international human rights treaties, which may not be as strong or as powerful as people would like, but the U.S. has stood aside from even pretending to be a part of the human rights world. They only talk about human rights if they think they can use it to overthrow a government that's independent of them, like Cuba. So now we're going to hear from the international community about the fight for a change, a real change. Our first speaker is Rafael Cervantes. He's from the Chicago Committee in Solidarity with Latin America, CESLA. Speak loud, Rafael.
Thank you, gracias. Very pleased to be here. Me da mucho gusto estar aquí. We're about to end four frightening years of extreme right wing here in the United States. Surprisingly, a few countries in Latin America survived, and like Bolivia, Argentina, Chile, Venezuela, and Cuba are back in the front line in the fight for new hope. Let's keep it that way, and let's give them encourage to continue. Woo-hoo! Because we are already seeing signs that the other right-wing forces are ready to push back. Joe Biden has invited Guaido to his inauguration. Guaido from Venezuela is not even a leader of the opposition in that country.
That's right.
Right-wing opposition, I meant. So let us try to stop that. It could have dreadful consequences for Venezuela and the rest of Latin America and for the United States, particularly also for Central America, that we just heard desperate situation of COVID and then hurricanes have pushed people out. There are other signs that we should pay attention. Joe Biden is already invited into his cabinet other right-wing elements that we know for many, many years. So let's stop that. There is no room for any right-wing anymore. No room for right wing. No right wing. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Rafael. From Argentina to Mexico, U.S. power has got to go. From Argentina to Mexico, U.S. power has got to go. Okay. Continuing, The countries all around the world are in resistance to dictatorship supported by the U.S. and to U.S. power. People are also resisting the concept of endless and never-ending wars for the interests of oil, the interests of big finance. Our next speaker is Liz Bayela from Chicago Area Peace Action. Liz.
Thank you so much, everyone. My name is Liz Bajalia. My pronouns are she, her, and hers, and I'm here today on behalf of Chicago Area Peace Action. Okay, is that better? Cool. I'm here today on behalf of Chicago Area Peace Action to talk about a bit more happening in the Middle East and what needs to happen. Okay, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for coming in, like, really cold weather. Seriously. Once in office, the Biden administration has made clear that their priority will be managing the COVID-19 pandemic. But COVID is not exclusive to the United States. It is a shared global trauma that is not absent from the political, economic, and social realities that the rest of the world faces. Every dollar spent on wars abroad, nuclearization, and militarizing the police is money that could go to vaccines, testing, and our overwhelmed hospitals. Let's look at Yemen. Since 2015, the United States has been supplying the Saudi-led coalition with military intelligence and U.S.-manufactured weapons, making us active participants in the world's largest humanitarian crisis. How can the people of Yemen manage such an atrocious disease when the bombs have destroyed their hospitals, when their humanitarian aid is being blocked at the port of Hodeidah? No actor in this war is innocent. But if the United States were to end their military support for the Saudi-led coalition, this horrendous conflict could end much more quickly. Countless lives could be saved. And even more, let's look at Palestine, the land where my grandfather was born. Israel has been lauded for their vaccine rollout, declared a leader in ending this pandemic. But that message fails to tell you that despite the fact that Israel is an occupying power over Palestine, they have not committed to sharing their vaccines with the 4.5 million Palestinians living in the West Bank, leaving them to suffer under the crushing weight of this pandemic. This behavior of treating Palestinians as second-class humans is nothing out of the normal, whether that be from Israel's constant militarized checkpoints, to denying equal water access to Palestinians, to even forcing Palestinians to drive on separate highways from the Israeli settlers. So what do these stories tell us? President-elect Biden, if you want to tackle COVID-19, you must see this as a struggle beyond our borders. We must take on the military-industrial complex and end U.S. support for the Saudi-led war in Yemen. We must hold Israel accountable for the oppression of the Palestinians and create an administration that finally treats us Palestinians like the human beings we are. This pandemic is a global struggle, and it requires global solidarity. We must dismantle the systems that allowed us to get here. We must recognize that we are a global community. And in the end, in every way possible, we must take care of each other. Thank you so much, everyone.
From Palestine to the Philippines, stop the U.S. war machine. From Palestine to the Philippines, stop the U.S. war machine. And now, from the Philippines, where the people have faced off so many dictatorships and been a leading light in the struggle for democracy and for human rights and for change. We have our speaker, Bev Tang, from the International League of People's Struggles.
Greetings, everyone, from the International League of People's Struggle in the Midwest. We want to share with you that there is no denying that the U.S. is an imperialist superpower with or without Trump. And regardless if it is run by Democrats or Republicans, the imperialist powers have been duking it out with each other to divide the world since the time of colonialism even before the two world wars. The U.S. thrives on cheap labor and resources and wars of domination abroad and the war against its own working class at home. This has resulted in countless military invasions and proxy wars with countries like Iran, Yemen, Somalia. U.S. imperialism has launched countless coups d'etats to seize the governments of countries like Venezuela, Brazil, and Honduras. The U.S. has imposed economic sanctions to deprive the majority of the population of basic needs like food and medicines in countries like Cuba and North Korea in attempts to force their governments to their knees and bow down in submission. Regardless of Republican or Democrat, history has shown that while Trump openly supported fascist dictators like Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu, India's Prime Minister Modi, and Philippine President Duterte giving them military aid to brutally repress their people within their own borders. On the other hand, President Obama did the same with his military pivot to Asia and the Democrat support of the Zionist State of Israel. Let us not be fooled. Yes, Biden has stacked his cabinet with racial and gender diversity, but they are war hawks.
That's right.
They have corporate interests that are still the same. They're all geared towards keeping the ruling capitalists in power at the expense of the majority of the people and the workers of the world. The only way for us to combat the world's number one imperialist is to expose and oppose U.S. imperialism and all of its neoliberal policies as a true terrorist.
That's right.
And the main enemy of the people of the world.
That's right.
The imperialists are the ones responsible for the massive genocides throughout this planet. The need for working class international solidarity is crucial to building the anti-imperialist and anti-fascist united front, which is why the ILPS Midwest calls on the people of Chicago, the Midwest, the entire nation to support the people of Kashmir, Palestine, Kurdistan, West Papua, Philippines, and across the globe in their national liberation struggles and fights for self-determination to bring down these imperialist powers and to build for a socialist future. Long live international solidarity!
Yes.
Money for jobs and healthcare, not for wars and occupation! Yes. Thank you!
The people united will never be defeated! The people united will never be defeated! El pueblo unido jamás serán vencidos! Our last speaker was unable to be here. That was Olga from the Coalition Against Petcoke on the Southeast Side, which I'm just going to say a word about another really important fight that we need to unite. And we need to hold the new administration's feet to the fire, and that's environmental justice. That's saving the planet. There is no planet B, as they say. Here in Chicago, we have our communities facing a number of really, literally life and death struggles over environmental justice. On the far southeast side, there's a fight going on against the General Iron Shredder. They've already, that neighborhood has fought against the Petcoke, against the steel mill pollutions, and now General Iron Shredders, which of course was going to be in Lincoln Park, but the people in Lincoln Park didn't like it, and all they had to do was ask. All they had to do was say, we don't like it, and it was gone. But so now it's trying to be imposed on the people of Southeast Chicago. So we stand here today to say no, and we're going to fight Lightfoot, we're going to fight Pritzker, we're going to fight Biden to protect our communities. In Little Village, we have the Hilco disaster in which they blew up a smoke tower and buried the neighborhood in dust, and we don't even know what. I live in Little Village. They're implementing giant trucking industry in Little Village, polluting our air. We already have the highest rate of asthma, the second highest rate of asthma in the city. Another neighborhood, McKinley Park, is fighting against Matt Asphalt Company, which is polluting the heck out of McKinley Park. These are just a few examples. nationally. Remember Miniwakoni? Water is life. The fight on the pipelines continues. Biden has said he's going to sign a decree to put an end to the Keystone. But we still have Line 3 going on in Minnesota.
Yes.
We still have the pipeline that runs down through Illinois.
Yes.
South Dakota, we still have the fight for our water. And in Flint, they might be finally charging some officials, but the people of Flint still don't have water.
Yes. Say it, Vicky.
Water is life. And with that, let's do just a couple of chants. We're coming to an end. This is the end of today's event, but this should be the beginning of all of us continuing to build unity, looking for ways to stand with each other, because only the people can save the people. I say black lives, you say matter. Black lives.
Matter.
Black lives.
Matter.
I say, what do we want? You say, justice. What do we want?
Justice.
What do we want?
Justice.
When do we want it?
Now.
All right.
That's right.
So again, this is a beginning. We're serving notice that we might be glad. We are glad to see Trump's rear end go out the door, and we hope to never see him again. But we are only in jail, right? But we are not sitting down on our couches and eating potato chips, or at least not all the time. We are going to fight. Thank you. Thank you. Let's give ourselves a big hand. Let's give all the organizations a big hand. All right. Thank you.